Please open your Bibles. Let's start from the book of Genesis. Okay, that we'll start from that. The one we have been reading about the life of Isaac. Genesis chapter 26. Now, let's read from verse 12. This was what we're reading when we're towards the later end of the Inspired by Isaac series, which we finished last year with. And I want to pick up from that point. Actually, if you remember, if you were around the very last message I preached, I said what I wanted to say that last day initially, that when I was thinking about it, I realized that it's going to take more than just one particular message, that it's going to take a very long one. So I said, let me just take a break, summarize everything we had said up to that point, that when we return this year, I will go into it and begin to discuss it in details. All right? So that's what I want to do now. I'm still looking for a proper word to use for it, a proper phrase to use to title the series, but I'm talking about the season of fruitfulness, generally speaking. When I was praying, I mentioned that, and that's what I want to get into. But the way I will use to describe it, I don't know yet. By the time we finish today, we'll have found a title for it, all right? But you'll see what I want to describe beginning from now is how the blessings of God, now, please, when we are using the word blessing now, be careful. Be careful that you don't interpret everything like a poor person. Are you getting my point? Yes, you know, this poverty mentality that Africans have. You talk about blessings, always money, car, house, all right? You are bigger than that, amen?
Amen.
The Bible says that God was speaking to Abraham, I will bless you, you will be a blessing. Being a blessing is not just about having things, all right? It's about expressing divine character on the earth. It's about infusing the Spirit of God into this earth, all right? It's not just about having money, having food, now, those things are basic. If you hear the words of Jesus, he said, these are the things that Gentiles seek. Those things are just instruments that you use in the course of living your life for God. Are you getting my point? So the word blessing spiritually in Christianity is beyond that. It's beyond that. And that was why a man like John the Baptist could exist. And he did not feel deprived, even though he did not have a big house. He did not feel deprived, even though many of the things that people in his days had, he didn't have it. Okay? He was very happy with what he was doing because the Spirit of God was in him. He was satisfied with his life, even though all he did, all he had was the goat. What was he wearing? Goat skin. And he was eating, is it camel skin? And he was eating locust and wild honey. You see, that didn't matter to him because his ministry, all right? And that's what the blessing is. The blessing is the power of God, the character of God that he wants to express on this earth, all right? So please, when we're talking about the word blessing, be careful. Be careful because what people do is that they tend to interpret things in the light of their own situations, okay? And I think that having studied the word of God for a long time, we have gone beyond that level. Okay, of thinking that all God exists for is so that he can give you extra food. All he exists for is so he can change your car. All he exists for is so that he can give you a big house, you know, and so that you too can travel all over the world. That's not what he exists for. In the course of your working with God, working for him, you will experience more than all of those things. Are you getting my point? The other day I was listening to them, Ravi Zacharias. You know, some people are praying that God wanted me to almost go on an international flight. Ravi Zacharias spends 2/3 of his life on international flights. He hardly sleeps on the normal bed. So people like that have to fly first class or business class at worst because he has to remain healthy. Why? His engagement at maybe today is University of Lagos. Next time is in University of Melbourne. The one after that is in Sydney. From there, he's going over to, maybe he's going to somewhere in the US. After that, he'll cross over to somewhere in different parts of Europe. So he's always flying up and down. For him, flying is not luxury. It's not a sign of prosperity. Is I have to get to where I'm going. Are you getting my point? And listen, as believers, we must get to that point where we understand how to interpret life. One of my sermons that will soon come out, I told you, for those of us co-workers, this year, that is one new written sermon a week, minimum. At the end of the year, 52. Okay, no, we break in December. So 48. The Lord is good. Like two or three are already ready for the year, and it's just the first, second week in January. So I'm very serious about it. All right? The Lord is good. Now, one of the sermons that will soon come out is the one I titled Numbering Your Days. You must learn how to number your days. Well, just not the days I'm talking about in that sermon, but everything in your life. Why did God give you breath, all right? Why do you have a comfortable house to stay in? Why do you have more money than is necessary for eating and drinking? Why? There's a reason for it. And Christians must learn to interpret life from that perspective, okay? I just felt like digressing to that when we were talking about blessing. Now, back to what I was saying. So when we're talking about the blessing, now, I was trying to explain something. So that there is a mechanism by which the blessing of God begins to express itself on this earth. And that's what I want to begin to talk about, all right? There is a mechanism. Even though God has something in heaven that he wants people to experience on the earth, it won't just happen. He has to build the mechanism. He has to build a way by which that which exists in the realm of the spirit will come down to the earth, all right, to affect people. That thing must be built. The mistake people make, now listen to this, is that oftentimes they make an idol of the methods that he used in previous times. Are you getting my point? Many of the things you read these days, you read a book on retirement planning. People have made an idol of it. It may have been, all right, a way by which God helped people at a time so that in their old age, they will be comfortable. Then people now make an idol of it. And once you make an idol of something, it has lost its spirit, and the body without the spirit is dead. Are you getting my point? And one thing I'm going to explain as we are going on is, so we have to be careful that we don't make an idol of methods. As I'm going on, I may teach some practical methods. Maybe Udechukwu is not around. Spiritual, economic, empowerment, and development strategy season 2. That it's reminded me about once in a while. We may do it again. But then it's so that people understand that divine blessing usually requires a structure to be built on the earth for it to pass through. But you don't make an idol of that structure. You don't ever make an idol of it. Because he can change it. He will change it from one season to another. It will just change. It will just change. You know, my wife was saying something, you know, she was reading the story of Rebecca. How they came to marry Rebecca. And then next day she just packed and went. He said, ah, waiting. Now so husband hungry Rebecca. I don't know whether you get the point. I mean, she was like, what was wrong with this girl? One guy just showed up from somewhere and said, oh yeah, my master has come and marry you for his son. His son you have never seen. I was trying to make excuse for Rebecca. Now, I'm bringing an issue here, okay? Now, if you tell you that a normal young person now, follow that kind of thing, even me, when they preach to you now, I don't go grill. Tell me, say, Pastor, hey, I'm getting married. Where's the guy? He's somewhere in maybe Ghana, Russia, somewhere. That is the father's servant that came. Not the father, not the boy. And they are good Christians. I've checked their profile on Google Plus. I went to Facebook. I found the website of the family. In fact, actually, found that we are distant cousins, both spiritually and physically. So, good people. I said, okay. So, what's happening? We are going tomorrow. Ah! Tomorrow? When did you meet the guy? The man came yesterday. Well, I've gone today, but I said I have to see you first. I said, okay, no problem. Wait, I'll go into the room and go and bind the spirit that's pushing you. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Now, the reason I remember that. But you know what? Rebecca was chosen by God for Isaac. We know why. Because we saw the way this man prayed. And God manifested his hand. But I'm looking at an issue here. That was the method he used then. He may not use the method now, but you cannot make an idol of that method. That's what I'm going to explain. Another person's life, in fact, in Jacob's life, the method was different too. Very different. Jacob was there for 7 years looking at the wife every day. Every day. So God manifests his blessing, all right? He can change the method, and that's why we don't make an idol of anyone. And it will be difficult now. As we go on, we'll see one of the things Christians must understand is how not to forget. One of the sermons I began to write, all right, a few days ago, recently anyway, I'll be through with it over before next Saturday, hopefully, all right? That one is titled, Do Not Forget God. Do not forget God. Now, what do I mean by do not forget God? They say everything in life has a risk if God blesses you exceedingly. Through the structure through which his blessing is coming to the earth, it is easy to forget God. So that's why he commanded them, thou shalt remember. It is the Lord thy God that is bringing blessing through this structure. That structure is not the blessing. That structure is not the source of the blessing. It is just the method through which he's connecting with heaven so as to release the blessing onto the earth. So he said, thou shalt remember. It is not the structure. It is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. Later on, we'll discuss that. There are things that people are supposed to do so they will not forget. The Jews had serious laws for remembering. Passover happened years before that. But they still had a law that they had to reenact every motion of Passover that happened in Egypt. When you are doing that sacrificial offering, when you are slaying that animal, you do it the same way. The same kind of animal, you eat it like you are going somewhere. Why? Because God said, your children will ask, where are we going? That's the whole aim. That's the whole aim. Imagine I tell Akinolu and all his younger ones, everybody go and dress up, dress up, dress up, dress up. Where are we going? Is it Christmas? Wait, just dress up. Wear your shoes, wear everything. And then I dress up, all right? No, service the engine, the car, everything. Put on the engine, put on the AC. We are going somewhere. So they're like, where are we going? We're not going anywhere. Then why are we dressed up? I'm eating. You say, eat fast, 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 fast. Don't let it get cold. Eat. Daddy, please, I'm enjoying this food. Why must I eat it in a hurry? So that they will ask, where are we going? That was why God gave them that whole thing. He said, so that you will not tell them. This was how God delivered our ancestors out of Egypt. He brought them out by a mighty hand. Why? It's so crucial that they don't forget God. That's what I'm going to explain. I'll get back to it later. It's so crucial that we don't forget God. Because if God builds a structure for you in life and is blessing you through it, is making you a blessing unto mankind through it, it is so easy to forget. So he put certain laws down for the people so that they will not forget God. If you go and read the story of Israel very well, you know, I keep on saying that thing. Christians who could preach tight, this and that. You don't read you want to copy the one that favors the church, that is the church organization. You don't want to copy the whole thing. If you want to copy the whole thing, that law, which is what we are copying. We are not copying Abraham at all. They say Abraham tithed. We are not copying him. I know he tithed. But believe me, you are not copying Abraham. The one you are copying is Judaism. I don't want to get into that now. But the point is that every law has a spirit. And it's that spirit that Christians are supposed to imbibe. Now, let me just talk about that Jewish one for a moment. If you copied it properly, you will realize that those guys had a very wasteful habit by law. By divine commandment. They had a very wasteful habit. The tithe that we talk about every year was supposed to be wasted in celebration. That is, last year, what's his name? Warren Buffett. How much did he make? Who can tell me again? Anyway, calculate it if you can. He was making $38 million daily for 2013. What Warren Buffett earned in 2013 amounted to $38 million US dollars on a daily basis. At the end of the year, that man earned like $13 or $18 billion in 1 year. But you can do the arithmetic. That's what it came to, $38 million. The Jewish law at that time was that the man had to spend $3.8 million multiplied by 365, and he had to spend it in a week. That was their law. And why was it like that? Of course, they were supposed to use it in celebration. So a man like that, he will just, that is, by that, if December period that they are doing it, he will have to employ people to help him share out money. Why would he was not allowed to invest it though. He had to spend it. Why were they doing like that? He said, so that they will not forget God. That's what he was doing. You behave like that every year, any money you make, a tenth of it, you had to waste. And when I say waste, I mean it is food and drink. You have to call people, guys, time for party. But why was God doing that? That's my emphasis. Because the people mustn't forget God. They tend to forget when he blesses them through a structure. They get into a land. Listen, let me explain something to you. Talking about this structure, we're getting into it. I said something before. I said this many years ago when I was teaching on radio, that God doesn't like working miracles. Now let me say that again so that you will. Now, you know, there are things you do occasionally, just not your habit. Yes, there are things you do occasionally. Like now, I don't like drinking coffee. Yeah, many people drink coffee. This one guy who hardly drinks coffee. I don't just wake up in the morning and start drinking coffee. Anytime you see me spoon a good quantity of instant coffee into whatever I want to drink, know I'm about to drive and I didn't sleep well. That one, you can be sure, is predictable. Or I'm going for a program where I'm not the preacher and I did not sleep well. And it's not good, you know, most times where I go to places these days, a lot of places I go to, I'm known there. So even if I want to crawl in, they tend to drag me to the front, come and sit down here. And if you did not sleep well, as they are preaching, yeah, it's not nice, it's not nice, it's not nice, it's not nice. So when I know that that risk is high, when I'm going out, I drink coffee. And it always keeps me away because I hardly do it. On the average, probably do drink a cup of coffee maybe once in a month or less. Now, why did I say all of this? I don't like drinking coffee. In the same manner, God doesn't like working miracles. But he works it once in a while when things go up. Are you getting my point? He works it in emergency situations. When we have to solve certain problems quickly before things spoil completely. Is it that he can't work miracles? No, he can. He can. That journey in the wilderness is not normal. 40 years, your shoes did not wear out. How would you like me to dash you shoes that don't wear out in 40 years? You know what you're going to say? That's a shoes problem. You're going to change it at the end of the year. You know, whether your shoe wears out or not, you will change it. It's called abundance. Amen? Yes, you're prospered. Amen? A friend of mine called me once from U.S. It was in New York that time. He said, I just left Amani's shop. And Amani, you know. And they gave him a suit for $2,000. And he was wondering, why should he buy a suit for $2,000? That the man said that the material will never change. He said, what is my problem? Whether it changes or not, I'm going to have to buy another one after I change. Of course, he didn't buy it. That's why he called me. Are you getting my point? Now, I'm not going to make that an issue. Yet, God did that for the children of Israel in the wilderness. Your clothes did not wear out. Your shoes did not wear out. And it was a sign of God's greatness. And as you know, like, God, that's good. But I'd rather you change it periodically. Use that greatness. You understand the logic? To change it periodically. God gave them manna on a daily basis. I'm sure you don't want manna on a daily basis. In fact, my wife is one person that does not want manna on a daily basis. After the 5th day, she's going to ask God, please, can you change the menu? Not because God can't do anything, but the point I'm trying to make is that what happened in the wilderness was not normal. It wasn't normal. That's the point I'm trying to make. I said this to you. You see, sometimes people, there are some miracles people hype. I say, like, you don't want that kind of miracle. How would you like to pray every time before you get water to drink? Think about it for a moment. You will get thirsty first. Then all of you will gather, join hands, and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, you are the God that supplies water. We know water is not too difficult for you. It's a good testimony when you get to that point, but usually you don't want to repeat it. It's like, oh God, please, listen. Thank you. Look, I will be thanking you for water all the time, but just keep it there. This prayer meeting before I drink, it's not exactly what I want. So even though he could bring water out of a rock, you rather have water out of your tap. True of us. Even though God can do it, those things were done for emergencies. And I'm saying to you again, he will still do such things in emergencies. But he doesn't want your life to be an emergency life. Are you getting my point? In fact, he told them simply, I did those things so that you will learn to fear God. I did those things to you so that you will understand that man does not live by bread alone. There was a reason why he did those things for them in the wilderness. He now said, now that you are going to the promised land, there, I'm not going to rain any manna from heaven for anybody. I will give you, now, this is structure of God. This is structure of God. I will give you a land that flows with milk and with honey. I will give you a land that from the hills you can mine for minerals. You can dig copper. You can dig iron out of the hills of that land. I will give you a land that drinks water, all right, from the rain of heaven. I will give you a land that is fertile. Then I will give you seed time and harvest, and that one will not cease. There will be a period of the early rain, and there will be a period of the latter rain. And he that watches the winds will not sow. So there is a season for sowing, and I will give you a season for harvesting. I expect you to understand agriculture. Don't enter the land and start raising your hands and say, Lord, we need to eat. Rain manna from heaven. No, once you enter into my promised land, you will not find manna from heaven. Not like I cannot rain manna from heaven. It is not the way I created life to be. I expect you guys to wake up in the morning, go to your businesses, invest your money, are you getting my point? And use that structure to connect, that's the word, with the blessing that I will give to you. The blessing is not the structure. Your farm is not the one providing food for you. Are you getting my point? No, not your farm, not your labor. It is me. It is just that this is how I have arranged things. You are not going to live your life by these funny miracles. I know I can do them, but I will not do them. That is why you will see that I disagree with a lot of, you know, these posters we found all over town. Everything is emergency breakthrough, sudden miracle. God can do it, but it doesn't expect Christians to queue there. Let unbelievers go there and go and discover God. Let them go there and go and discover God. Let the Christian understand how to build divine structure for bringing down blessing to the earth. There is a time you are broke in life. Thank God for it. And God brought money all of a sudden. You need money to pay rent, just appeared out of nowhere. You need money to eat out of nowhere. You need money to pay fees, school fees for children out of nowhere. But God said, listen, we are not going to live like this for a very long time. A time should come that you will know that you are not going to pray. The money is in the account. The time will come that not only are you paying for your own children, other children's people sit and kill, not because they know you have been blessed to be a blessing. There will be an extra. Not that I'm waiting at the door. I'm expecting the check. It's coming in the name of Jesus. Father God, I begin to call. God say, I know. No, oh boy, yes, it works. I can do it. But listen, if you spend this amount of time believing me for food, amount of time believing me for rent, this amount of time believing me for clothes, how what amount of time will you spend doing the reason why I gave you life? Think about it. I mean, the whole of today, as I was moving up and down, I was praying and confessing the word of God. But over what? I'm going to teach the word this evening. Your people will come and hear the word. They will be blessed. They will be. Are you getting my point? If I woke up this morning and said, Lord, you know, children have started school now in the name of Jesus. Father, the whole day we go on school fees. The whole day we go on mosquitoes that are trying to fly into my house. Are you getting my point? The whole day. Now, listen, that's one thing I'm trying to balance for Christians. Yes, God can do it. But is that what he likes to do? No. Mosquitoes disturbing. I look for where they are growing and I find them there. Then I pay somebody to come and net the whole house, put screen everywhere so they can't fly into the house. Then I spend my time worrying in quotes now, over something more in line with divine destiny. Are you getting my point? That's why the journey in the wilderness was supposed to be short. All those miracles you saw in the wilderness were not supposed to be seen. The wilderness journey was supposed to be short. The people were supposed to enter into the promised land. They were supposed to have, because one of the things you will understand, okay? I'm saying many things. I hope you are following me. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Now, one of the things you will understand is this. You know, I thought about this before. I've said this one before, that God created man. Forget man did not evolve. Forget that nonsense. He could not have evolved. You know, today I thought of another reason why, you know, evolution doesn't make sense for the appearance of mankind. Doesn't make sense. It has to be creation. For example, you find things funny. Why are they funny? Why does evolution make things funny? I just thought about it. You know, hear a joke, you laugh. I say it's God that just puts the spirit of laughter in us. Amen. Now, so when God gave life to Adam and Co., there's a reason why I'm bringing that up. You know, people start thinking about how men discovered how to cook, how to mine, how to do, you know, extract iron ore and all of that, iron from the ore and all of that. Have you ever thought about it? Listen, let me tell you the truth. It wasn't by chance, it wasn't by any evolution. What literally happened was that the divine beings who were there before Adam and Co. will show up and teach it to Adam and to his descendants. Spiritual beings. I can prove that to you. I mean, just give you an idea. Because you find out that God, the Adam and Co. used to hear his footsteps as he would come into the garden in the cool of the evening. It wasn't a strange thing to them. They were used to it. And I told you before, that was why when this, what you and I call snake, was not snake, all right? The serpent, you know, the one that tempted Eve. If you have Bollinger's Companion Bible, the man will explain to you that it was not a snake. It could not have been a snake. It was not an animal. It was a being, the type that Eve had seen before, and that was why Eve was not shocked at his coming. And that was why Eve would carry on a conversation. If snake shows up, tell you, has God really said, you get behind me, Satan. You don't need it. Snake begin open mouth, gist with you, waiting. That one is not a temptation because something's out of order. I'm going on the road. One bed, just say, Pastor. Now, why I said all of that is, I want to bring out a point. So, this was God's idea. He will have taken the children of Israel into the promised land. Now, listen to this. And instead of spending the time working miracles, please follow what I'm saying. He will have spent the time teaching them. That's why I went into all of that. Teaching. Teaching them. He would have spent that time teaching them how to cultivate that land. How to dig copper. How to dig iron. How to manufacture things. You see some of the things. One of the kings in Israel actually invented engines for firing arrows. You get my point? He would have spent the time teaching them through different methods. There are men that he will put a particular spirit inside. You have the spirit of the farmer. You will understand crop preservation. You will understand manufacturing. You come here. I will give you the wisdom to develop, you know, different kinds of processing engines. So I'll spend all this time in the wilderness fighting serpents, raining quail, is it quail, you know, so that you can eat meat. And I've shown you poultry farming. That was what God planned. You see, that wilderness thing, that whole wilderness, how did they end up in the wilderness? Did they enter the promised land and say, we are not able? We are not able. So God sent them back into the wilderness to go and learn that, look, you are able. You understand my point? To see the power of God. And that's why he said, first he made you hungry, and then he fed you with manna, so that you will understand that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God does man live. That is, they were there just to understand something. I'm saying all of this on a principle. God didn't create you to be living by miracles. Even though he can work miracles. Miracles, what you and I call miracles, should become normal. That is, your life will be a normal, miraculous life. Are you getting my point? Is a normal, that is, what you call miracles is normal. Yes, we have all been broke at one point or the other and prayed and God supplied. I've had such experiences. You walk with God for some time, you will have such experiences. But listen, it is not the normal way of living. God did not design your life to be like that. Let me say this to you. Your days of miraculous supply of money is about to pass. Amen. If you have wisdom, you will say amen.
Amen.
I'm not saying you'll be broke or God will abandon you. That's not what I mean. I mean a time because you become somebody else's miracle. Amen. That is, meeting you is their miracle.
He said, hey, I was just praying, God, where would this money come from? Then this brother showed up. And when I saw him, I knew God had come. And it's you they are talking about. That is divine life. That's how it's supposed to be. Listen to me. Let me say to you again. You will become a miracle. Amen. You know what I'm saying there? For you, the money is not a, in quote, miracle. It's normal. It's an investment. It's returns on investment. It's great jobs that you are doing. Inventions that came out of your hand. It is that you wrote a particular program. Google liked it so much. And they pay you $2.5 billion. It's not, in quotes, not a miracle, really. You are not the first. They are paying like that. They paid other people. That they are reading the papers yesterday or 2 days ago about a Nigerian that Google bought something from for $10 billion. I mean, I have not heard that before. I don't know how many of you heard of it. I'm reading it in international news. Some people are explaining that, that they really emphasize the fact. They said that of the nationals in the United States, Nigerians are amongst the top 8 when it comes to success. That in the U.S., they calculated it. Nigerians are amongst the top 8. And when they come in, they are amongst the people that have the highest potential to succeed. They added Chinese people, Indians, Nigerians. They added them. That they tend to have a drive. They are intelligent. But that's why I give that example. That's the point I'm trying to make. That is the kind of miracle God expects you, you know, the kind of financial miracles you will start talking about. Listen to me. It's not that they just needed 1,000 naira to just complete that money. No. It's more of, you know, I was reading this book, Out of Africa, and I saw men discussing financial miracles. These guys that started Econet in Nigeria, you understand? You know, they came from Zimbabwe. Was it Zimbabwe? Yes, I think Zimbabwe. You know the kind of prayer they pray, and that's the kind of miracles we want to step into the realm of. This is the kind of prayer, like, we are supposed to go to South Africa and start deploying our companies, you know, sales and all of that. There's a problem. Let's gather and begin to pray. In the name of Jesus, the door will open. Then they start changing who's in charge, replace one minister with another so as to open the doors where things were closed before. That's what they now call miracle. Are you getting my point? It's business they are doing. They use the power of God to break obstructions. One of the things I was saying, you know, in our prime minister last year, and I mean it. This one that everybody is always begging, because, you know, there are different ways. I told you, there are different ways. People say that is it right for a Christian to give bribe? I've seen Americans try to tell Nigerian Christians how to do business, whether to give bribe or not to give bribe. And I'm not discussing that now. But I just want to say something briefly. They don't understand that in Nigeria, there's a difference between bribe and extortion. Yes, there's a world of difference. There's a world of difference. Bribe is to perfect the way of justice. But sometimes a man block road. Your engine number is correct. Child's number is correct. And he says, in fact, one policeman told me one day, he said, you not do me anything, no. He said it with his mouth. But you young man have this kind of car. I mean, I day here. You must settle. He said it plain. He said, you not do me anything, no. It's like this. You not do me anything. That this paper correct, insurance up to date, engine number, no mistake, chassis number, the way God made it. But how can you be in this car? At your age, that's what he said. That as young as you are, look at the car you are driving. I mean, I just did here. Oh boy, settle. And he wasn't begging. He was like, you're not going. And according to MK Abiola, if a man carrying a gun says jump, I'll ask him how high. Now, I gave the man money, I did. Was I bribing him?
No.
It was extortion. Now, so people say, you see, there's a difference. And last year when I was teaching, I said, one of the things we have to understand, that's why I'm talking about this, all right? Where the kind of real miracle that God actually works. There are times it's a big deal. It's not just a man stopping you on the road that you can't go, and you give him 200 naira and he's happy. No. They are talking about serious investments that's at stake, and one man decides that he's going to be an obstruction to the progress of God. Because God is not only when we are preaching. When we are investing in this economy, I hope you know it's God. When we are building houses for people to stay in, it's God. There are times, and listen to me, this is an instruction of God. There are times you are extorted, you give the man money, and you put place a curse. No, don't ever, If you are releasing such monies, don't say it with joy. Release it with pain. That is, anyone who eats this money is going into pain and affliction. You should. I mean that I'm not joking about it. You should. But there's a one in which you tell the man straight. Listen. 1 naira, I'm not going to give you. But I swear by my God that I will not eat any pleasant food until he has dealt with you. You tell the man straight. You have Babalawo, go and meet him. Why? Because God has to deal with many people. That is, you and your Babalawo are going together. As I'm leaving you, I'm going to church. Not church building, no. I'm going to gather my brethren. And you will be our prayer point. And this is a guiding scripture I'm going to use for that prayer. Arise, O Lord, and let your enemy be scattered. You walk away. Listen, one of two things. Either that man will fear, or he will die. It's one of two. Either he will fear, or he will be wiped out. That's the kind of miracle you start praying for. The days of praying for miracle for 6,000 naira is over. A miracle that my son is sick. I don't know where to get money for the bill. It's over.
Amen.
These are not the kind of miracles God likes to work. That's why I'm going into all of this. God wants to build a structure in your life in which you will know when the school starting. It says 6th of January. You by 5th of January, you have 4 children in school. You have money for 40.
Amen.
Now, because it didn't come miraculously does not mean it's not God. That's what I'm going to emphasize. We will not forget God. We will not forget. Like I said before, you teach children. Like when we drove, you know, we traveled Christmas time, went to visit, my children stayed with my parents-in-law. Then I went and picked them up, went to stay with my mother for a few days. And it was a lot of journey, you know. Drove all the way from Ikare to Benin, from Benin. The next day, drove down to Enugu and then, you know, it was a lot of driving. As soon as we finished packing, I said to children, what do we say? They all know it. Thank you, Jesus. As I packed, I just said, what do we say? They all said, thank you, Jesus. Why? The driving is of God. The safety is of God. I have a very comfortable car. Are you getting my point? In fact, I think my children think life is always like that. Just a joke. One day, when with my mom, my daughter was looking for me, one of the brothers. Where's Akin? And I said, Daddy, how come this house doesn't have upstairs? Because she has checked everywhere. She wanted to climb up to go and look for him and realize that there's no upstairs. Now came to ask me, you know. What I'm saying is that she's gotten used to always living in houses that have upstairs. Some things become, because their children don't know it's not normal. My children have never sweated in the vehicle while traveling. They don't really realize it happens. You get finished traveling, you dust on your face. They have never, I experienced it for all of them. Before I used to travel with sponge. When I get to where I'm going, first thing I do is to scrub my face. Facial scrub, I'm serious. The fact that they don't have to wait and believe God for a comfortable vehicle does not mean it's not God. That's what I'm trying to explain. I drove them in good comfort all these journeys up and down. They relax. Sometimes watch video inside the car. But when I parked that day, I said, what do we say? They said, thank you, Jesus. It is not the car. Toyota did not make us comfortable. One of the things we teach the children is to remember when they are eating. How come we have food? Is it because daddy works? They say no. Is it because mommy works? It is no. Is it because your parents are wise? No. Why do we have food? Because God is good. For that reason, what do we say? Thank you, Jesus. That is, the fact that the money is regular, it's predictable, it's always coming, it's increasing. We must never forget God. And that is why, don't ever put anything in your mouth, including chewing gum, without saying thank you, Jesus. It's one of the disciplines of life. One of the disciplines. That's why Jesus never ate food without giving thanks. Food that he will multiply. Oh. It's one of the disciplines of life. We'll get down to it. How not to forget God. You write it in the sermon, because I released it before we even get in this teaching. Generosity is one way by which you don't forget God. This simple habit of always giving thanks is one way by which you don't forget God. There are little things you do that shows you have not forgotten God. Periodically, in fact, you can make... Now, let me just drop this. Let me drop this for some people. Maybe it's a revelation for some people. You can make up your mind that for the next 5 years, every 10th business opportunity, I must walk past it. I won't take it. And they will tempt you one day. This year, that the previous one, you made 10 million. That one, you made 15 million. That one will be the one that you make 1.5 billion. You say, oh, I'm sorry, it's the 10th. No, I'm not taking. It's not for everybody. There has to be something you do in your life that is just a sign that it's God and not me. And that's why Israel was commanded, every seventh day you don't walk. Every seventh year you don't plow your fields. That's the way by which they remember that it is God, it's not them. Please, I hope you've gotten my point. I hope you've gotten my point. Now, what's the point I'm trying to make? Because we are going to continue discussing. And I'm going to emphasize the fact that this miraculous life, you know, please, you are getting me in perspective now. This miraculous life is not a normal life. You know what I mean by normal? You know, this last minute, something will just break through. Before a person dies, something will just come through. God can do it. He will do it for you at certain periods of your life. But he says to you, you have to go beyond that level. Then let me recommend this message again. And the woman's getting God's best. And the woman's getting God's best. Many of us here have listened to it. If you haven't, just beg Israel and Felix at the end. Or if they all right, they will just arrange to help you get it. I like, in fact, those are the main and the woman's messages that I recommend. Why I recommend is in this particular instance, why I'm recommending it again, is because he tells the story of his life. When as a young pastor, he went through the valley of the shadow of death. But God pulled him out. And will let you know that that was not a normal life. And he does not want to live like that again. He made that statement clear there. Yes, God used to come through for him. Things would be rough, God will come through. But he said, no, I'm not going to live like that again. Even though God was faithful. But that was not life. And I want you to start believing God for greater things. That's why I'm teaching like this. You start believing God for greater things. It's very important. Because God wants to do it in your life. When I was putting my notes down, before I came up to preach, the note I told you I now lost suddenly. One of the things I put in there is that, you see, along the way, what I'm going to teach, okay? And this is the point. Is that God wants you to cooperate with him so he can birth something out of your life so that you don't obstruct the delivery. That's the point I'm going to make. Let me say what I'm saying. You've been hearing the word of God, amen? Amen. It's been building something in your spirit. Now, listen to that. But that thing that God has built into your spirit, it has to be manifested on the earth. Let me quickly say this. What I wanted to say then, I'll now develop it. And you have to be careful that you don't abort that pregnancy and you allow it to come to birth. That's what I want to say. Then I'll develop it. I've made that statement. We'll develop it, okay? There's something I need to explain about that. I said we should open somewhere, right? Have you read any of them? Okay, the story of Isaac, we read it many times, so let it wait. Isaac sowed in that land, that's Genesis chapter 26, verse 12. And the same year he reaped 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him, and the man became rich, and continued to grow richer until he became very wealthy. Now, why I refer to this is verse 12. Isaac sowed in that land. That is when God wanted to pour a blessing upon him. He didn't just sit down there, put out his two hands, and say, blessing fall, manna rain from heaven. No. He sowed in the land. That is, he followed a structure that God had taught him. He bought land, he took grain, and he planted it, and God poured a blessing upon it. But I will get back to that later. Now, there's one I wanted to open to. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There's just one thing I want to bring. In fact, there are many scriptures like this that explains this thing I want to explain. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, what Paul was speaking about here is not what I want to discuss. That is the main context. It's just a spiritual principle that's in there I want to extract. He was talking about the resurrection. And somebody will say to him, he said in verse 35, how are the dead raised? And he now began to explain how the dead are raised. Now you see in verse 37, let me just start from verse 36. He said, "You fool, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And that which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be, but a bare grain, perhaps of wheat or something else. But God gives it a body just as he wished." That is, God already designed the kind of body. That's why he said, just as he wished. He has wished it. The grain you sow wheat, he has already given the kind of plant that's going to come out of that grain so as to bring more fruit. He said, verse 38, "But God gives it a body just as he wished, and to each of the seeds a body of its own." That's what I want to bring out. He said, "All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is a flesh of men, and another flesh of beasts, and another flesh of birds, and another of fish. And there are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies. But the glory of the heavenly is one, and the glory of the earthly is another." Now, what I want to bring out is this, that he said that every seed, God has already wished and given it a particular kind of body. Now, notice this, that is, for every seed, there is his own kind of body. Please, I hope you are following what I'm saying. Every seed, that is, now this is what I want to bring out from it. For every blessing that God wants to bring onto the earth, there is a kind of structure that he has planned to use to express it. I don't know what you're hearing what I'm saying. And there are different types. That is, if the seed is there, except we cooperate with God, there's a principle I said to you, I'm bringing out from here, that seed, there is a body that God has given it. And it is crucial that we cooperate with God, that body come into existence for his blessing to be manifested. I'll explain it further, if it's not too clear. Now, just follow me. For example, concerning Jesus, it was said, it's a sacrifice and offering you have not desired. He said, but a body you have prepared for me. That is, for what God desired to come to the earth, a body had to be prepared. And why the angel went to Mary and was singing songs. Are you getting? The Lord is good. Why Gabriel went to Mary? Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is, in fact, Gabriel was a Catholic. Angel Gabriel was a Catholic. For those of you who don't know the church that angels go to, I've told you one now. Now, Angel Gabriel went there. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, all of that. You know why? They are trying to prepare a body. That's what I'm trying to explain. Because he said, a body thou hast prepared. That is, by the time the story, Gabriel was talking to Mary and trying to persuade Mary about things, the seed, Jesus was waiting. No matter how much God wants to bless the earth, until a Mary agrees, he's not coming. I don't know whether you hear what I said there. He said, yes, from the beginning it was prophesied. Prophesy it all you want. And from the beginning, Abraham had cooperated with God. And when he gave his son Isaac, God was committed to give his own son. God said, I agree. But go and tell Mary. She has to agree. If that Mary didn't agree, they will keep on looking for a Mary or a Teresa, Angelina. Are you getting my point? Ngozi? Whatever be the place. They have to find to agree, because the blessing must enter a body for it to be manifested. Do you get what I'm saying? One of the things I'm going into this year trying to teach is to let you know, if you have an anointing upon you like Pastor Banky does, you have to open a Kingdom Word Ministries. I hope you caught that. You can't sit in your house and think that anointing will just be emitting from your head to go and bless somebody in America. Impossible. You have to get up. Go out. Get something together. Not because it is the power that will make it come to pass, but because a body has to be prepared. Otherwise, the anointing is not going anywhere. Many of you are going to be billionaires, but you know why you have not even become a thousandaire? What's your company name? You don't have. Are you getting my point? Your Mary is still arguing with the angel Gabriel. How shall these things be? Did I go to school in your eye? Are you see the argument? Angel Gabriel is at your door. Every day they are discussing serious matters. Yeah, they are arguing. I should go and register a company. I feel like I better go to school. That was what Mary was doing. How shall these things be? Seeing that I'm a virgin. The angel had to be explained. No, Mary, please don't spoil this thing. No. The Spirit of God will overshadow. Until Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. Jesus wasn't going to come anywhere. I've told you before, don't just assume that once God wants it done, it will just be done. No, it doesn't work like that. When God wants it done, he starts looking for who will help him. That's what he starts looking for. If it was so easy, God would just do it, Goza. Why do you think he had to be arguing with Moses? It's time to deliver the people of Israel. Moses said, this thing you're trying to explain. No, because I don't want me to deliver, but... But as you can hear, this talking thing is not my strong point. You know, there's a way I read the scripture and interpret things. God had to get angry. Because he told Moses, don't worry. I will do like this. Okay, Moses, what if I get and they say that, who is this God? Okay, you tell them the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Say, are we sure he talked to you? It's okay, I will perform two signs. All right, you put your hand here, you do like this, then you carry rod. You know why God was doing all of that? Because without Moses, nobody's going anywhere. He is God, but without Moses, nobody is going anywhere. Nobody. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Without Moses, now there's a good day. So when Moses talk, finish, he has brought up the issue of this, I can't talk. No, you must understand, Pharaoh would not even be patient enough to let me make my statement. He said, okay. Is Aaron not your brother? He's on his way. He was coming to look for you. I hereby anoint him as a prophet. You are the God. So with Aaron, you won't stammer, Abby. And you have the patience to hear what he has said. It's your brother. Now this God went into all that negotiation because without Moses, nobody is going anywhere. The same reason that Gabriel was following Mary about. Hail Mary, full of grace. Then I just say, okay, look, there's work to do. God wants you to deliver a child. the girl will run. You understand my point? I mean, man just come and say, what's your name? Angela. You will marry me. Oh, are you going to agree? No, you know, he has to come and say, Sister Angie, how far? I'm fine. That message Pastor prayed today, what do you think? What do I think? I was blessed. You were blessed. Like me too. If there was one, all this talking is just, are you going somewhere? Let me escort you. Nobody's going to kidnap me. You never can tell. Let me just be sure. All this niceness is because you are going somewhere. No, be so. No salvation if you don't agree. So we have to talk to you first. Buy you shawarma. All of that. Just so that the woman will agree. But what I'm going to bring out from there is this. The reason why she had to agree. The reason why she had to be persuaded. Is because if she did not agree, Jesus is not coming anywhere. The seed requires a body. That's what I'm going to explain. The seed of God inside you requires a body. It does. Well, I think I still have enough time. Because you see, the physical things on this earth, in fact, there's one scripture, not scripture actually, though I wanted to read at the beginning. It's like scripture. It perfectly illustrates what I'm trying to say. I've quoted it here again and again, and I'll read it again today because I remember today and I brought the quote so I can give it to you verbatim. Is a quote by Henry Ford. And what I want to bring from his statement is the fact that everything that's inside the spirit, in the spiritual realm, must be demonstrated on this earth for it to be effective, for it to be of any importance.
Are you getting my point? And that's why God made this existence, so that we would demonstrate spiritual qualities. That's what it is. When you see all this thing that's going on in the world today, you know, the fight is whether a man can marry a man, whether it is legal and all of that. I say all these things are manifestations of godlessness. Godlessness will always have its manifestation. That's just the way it is. So what God is doing is this. When he says, I'm the God of Abraham, I'm the God of Isaac, I'm the God of Jacob. There is a part of God that was manifested in that flesh called Abraham. There's a part of God that was manifested in that flesh called Isaac. There is a part of God. Everything that's spiritual will be given relevance by physical expression. That's why I'm trying to explain all of these things. So until a body is prepared, Jesus, the salvation of God, that body was called Jesus, the salvation of God could not come. And I want to give this quote, like I mentioned to you, many times I've mentioned it here, but today I remember it. You know, God has divine ideas. It's all about because of the righteousness of God, the proper way of doing things. There are spiritual principles that God wants to manifest. And each one sitting down here, including this one standing up here, are you getting my point? Everyone, including those students who are inside there disturbing themselves, you know, every single one was given that body to manifest a trait of God. Some are preachers, like I am. Many are not. Some are manufacturers. Some are law enforcement agents. Some are lawyers. Some are teachers. Some are politicians. Some are housewives. Some are business. They are different kinds. Each one has to express, that's the word. Each one has to express that trait of God. Remember what I said? Don't think that you can just sit down there and do nothing. And that because you are a preacher, you sit in your house, the anointing will just be radiating from your brain and blessing somebody on the other side of the world. It will not happen. He says, if your name is Pastor Banky, go out there and start a little kingdom world ministries. You have to. Otherwise, there's nobody. You require the body. Are you getting my point? There was something I was saying earlier. Let me say it again. I'm a businessman. God said, listen, the way you are doing business, we can't go far. The seed that we want to manifest requires a better body than this one. You are just here fooling around. Where is your certificate? You don't have a business name. Your clients are still paying you and writing the check in your personal name. You know, just to add just an example. Many years ago, when Kingdom World Ministry started, when I started preaching, I always told you Christians are good people, all right? And if you teach them well, they are generous people. So for a long time, many times people will come up to me, all right, it's been happening for a very long time, and say they want to give money to Kingdom World Ministries. Do you understand? And for a long time, all I could do is, no, don't worry, just give it to me. You know, I don't know whether I get the point. But because they were my friends, they were people that I knew. They just hand me the money. Somebody wants to send money. They actually pay into my personal account because there was no Kingdom World Ministries account. I look back now and say, oh, foolish Galatian. The day we opened the ministry account was when we went on radio. Of course, first time we paid the radio people, I was the one that paid the money, just personal money. There was no ministry money anyway, so there was, just that it was small, you know, and it didn't have a proper account. He had an account book, and maybe had an envelope somewhere, but there was no. Then one young man sent us a check for 5,000 naira. 5,000 naira, a check for Kingdom World Ministries. I didn't need anybody to tell me that. If for the sake to, so I could draw that check alone, I had to go to Guarantee Trust Bank and say, guys, what do you need? But good enough, God was good. Just before then, we had done the proper incorporation of trustees. So the certificate was just ready. So we now put that one in. That was, I can't imagine somebody say that, please, we want to send Kingdom World money. And I said, pay into my account. I say, only. It doesn't even sound right. It doesn't sound nice. Now, all of you agree it doesn't sound nice because it's ministry. But if it's your business, it's okay. It's my business. Listen to me. It's not your business. It is a body that has been prepared to manifest greatness. This January, if you're a businessman, you're on your way to CAC. Are you getting what I'm saying? The time has come, when people are talking to you, they know they are talking to an enterprise, not an individual that's hungry. Now, you know, oh God, I'm already getting ahead of myself.
They have a saying in my part of the country. They say, it's how I see you, that's how I address you. I don't know what you understand what I mean by that. If I show up wearing knicker, you don't know me before. You don't know Pastor Bank Radio. I'm just on the road. I wear a sleeveless t-shirt, pair of, you know, shorts and slippers, and I'm crossing the road. Hey, come. That is how everybody will talk to me. The policeman will talk like that. The traffic warden will talk like that. The gate man downstairs, the man driving his car, excuse me. Are you getting what I'm saying? Even if I am nothing, are you getting my point? That is, I'm not a preacher. I'm just one jack that just came out of Mali, just came to Nigeria. And I dress where I'm dressed now, and I'm crossing the road. Even if you smoke, there are things, you won't do like this. Come. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? It's not in your system. In the same manner, you're a businessman. The kind of jaws people will be willing to discuss with you, a lot of it depends on how they perceive you. I hope you understand that. If you say, okay, let's, we'd like to give you an advance for the job. So you'll bring in cash. I know this guy. No, listen, they will give you a job for that the advance is 100,000. But when the advance is a job of 5 million, they won't even call you. I don't know whether you're getting my point. They will not even call you. Say, Pastor Banky, I've seen a man they call before. That's a miracle. And you know, you get what I'm saying? That one was a miracle. It is not the normal thing. It is not the normal thing. The man is not going to do a big business. He doesn't have, he's not sure he can trace you. He's giving an advance for a job, 15 million naira, and he wanted to give you as cash so he can run away with his money. He has to have a name of your company. He writes the check in the name of your company. He knows the bank you use, so he can meet your account officer and say, where is that guy who took my money? It's an unconscious thing in his body. There are little things you do that what you are doing is you are preparing a body. That's what I'm trying to explain. Remember, we are not worshiping the body. You know, I spent the first 30 minutes trying to explain that it is all of God. But for him to bring Jesus to the earth, Mary has to accept to conceive. And I put a point along the way that please be careful that you do not abort the pregnancy because of your small-mindedness. After all, my business is paying enough money for me to pay my rent and pay school fees. I've already laid foundation in the small plot of land which I got for free in the village. No. God wants to manifest something. There's a divine character that he has to manifest through your body. Are you getting my point? Now, I was going to read a quote for you. Let me now read it now. Henry Ford said, "Power and machinery, money and goods are useful only as they set us free to live. They are but means to an end." Now, listen, this is where I'm going. "For instance," he said, "I do not consider the machines which bear my name simply as machines. If that was all there was to it, I would do something else. I take them," listen to this, "oh, "I take them as concrete evidence, the physical manifestation of the working out of a theory of business, which I hope is something more than a theory of business." He said, "A theory that looks towards making this world a better place in which to live." Now listen. "The fact that the commercial success of the Ford Motor Company has been most unusual is important only because it serves to demonstrate in a way which no one can fail to understand that that theory to date is right." I don't know whether you heard that. He said, "The success of that company, for me, the most important thing about it is that it brings forth to this earth a spiritual principle." I don't know whether you get what I'm interpreting there. That it's not just about car. "We made cars. I made money. I'm very rich." He said, no. It is that there is a theory of doing business. If I said it to you people by mouth, you wouldn't agree. So God, now I'm putting my own words to it, God had to give that spiritual principle a body. A body has been prepared so that through that body, we will manifest a particular theory of doing business that men did not understand until now. Yes, sir. Listen, let me say this to you. There are things that God wants to manifest through your life. My message for 2014 is that you must allow that to happen. My message for 2014, listen, I started preaching here in 2003. For the first 10 years, this is what I believe. I taught and I explained to people the spiritual principles. And that the time has come for men and women to start building the body through which those principles will be manifested. I said this and I'm not mincing words about it and I'm not joking. Listen to me clearly. From people here, not those who are listening to me on radio, at least 10 will be billionaires. Amen. In a time shorter than everybody here, including me, can imagine. Amen. Not because of money. I mean, you've heard me long enough to understand that. But because a body has to be prepared for some things to become manifested on this earth. And my message for today is, listen, your name is Mary, and my name is Gabriel. You are Mary, I am Gabriel. And I'm saying to you, Hail Mary, you look very handsome, you look very beautiful. Blessed are thou amongst the people of this earth. And one more, blessed in this is the fruit that is going to come out of your womb. Because it will be a blessing to this earth. Listen, everything you have criticized on the earth, not as a grumbler, you know, they are grumblers. Nothing is good as far unless it's done by them. But things that you have legitimately and righteously said, this is not right. There is one that God will bring the right one out of you. Amen. I've told this story again and again, Mary Kay Ash. When she started Mary Kay Cosmetics, it was simply to tell people, guys, you can't do marketing like this. It's not right. And God said to her, that's a seed. Let's give it a body. And you and I know of Mary Kay Cosmetics today. The woman was not a cosmetics person. She was a marketing person. Mary Kay Cosmetics was the body through which God expressed her marketing ideas. I just read the story of Henry Ford. One of the things you find with Henry Ford, he said, number one, let me just drop a few principles from him. One, the main aim is to make life better for people. So your business must be engineered towards making life better for people. The man offered warranties when he had next to no competitors. I don't know whether I get the point. That is, you buy my car, it should work. If it spoils, it's my fault, not your fault. Before him, those who made cars, they felt that once you bought the car, to buy the parts when it spoils is where we make our money. And of course, said, why should it be like that? If I'm good, let me add my own words, if I'm a godly man, if that's an expression of divinity, why should it spoil? In fact, if it spoils, it's my fault. We started giving warranties. What you know today, as you know, they said, buy a car, 100,000 kilometers of 3 years warranty. He started things like that. Why? He said, I made the car. My name is on it. It's my integrity I'm talking about. It must work. If it stops working, call me. He did things like that. The man will bring down prices. People say, so that he can make more money. He said, no. His own was simple. If I was sent to this earth to make life comfortable for people, and I make life comfortable for 100, and I'm rich, am I a success? I'm putting words now to explain. No, I should be able to make it comfortable for 1,000, and for 10,000, and for 1,000,000. So once it breaks even, he said, look, we can make this better. Makes life more, we can make manufacturing more efficient, so that we can bring down prices. Then instead of selling to 100 people, we sell to 1,000. He will do it. No competitor. Every time he had those ideas, as long as he was thinking like that, God was making that body expand. Listen to me. You have to give life to that idea, to that spiritual, to that part of God. That's the word. To that part of God that made him create you. God didn't give you life, I keep on saying, to come and enjoy, build a house, buy a car, and now you too, you have made it. You have not started yet. You were given life to express a part of God. And my message again for this year is that you have that seed in you already. What we are discussing now is that we have to build a structure that will allow that seed to be manifested.
I hope you've gotten my point. I have a strong feeling I have explained myself properly. If you understood me, say amen.
Amen.
If you are blessed with this, say amen.
Amen.
Let's just bow down our heads and just say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Just say, Lord, we thank you.